right, why don't we start with a simple breathing exercise to get you nice and ready for our little adventure that we're going to go on today. I want you to breathe in ever so deeply, and once you're all the way full, hold it for a half count. And then just let it all out. In and out. It feels wonderful, and it's a very good way to begin relaxing and allowing your mind to go blank. Because with each breath, one can release a little more tension, a little more stress. It's wonderful to release all that stress, to let yourself go blanker and blanker with each breath. It's a very pleasing and enthralling process of breathing in and filling yourself up with nice, cool air, and then breathing all your tension and worries out. Good. Now, I'm not going to spend a very long time taking you down, because we're going to be going on a little adventure today. So, why don't we focus in on my voice and listen very closely. The first step is letting that become the one thread that makes up your reality. The one binding, controlling factor. And as you let go of all your thoughts, and as you let go of all your worries for the day, you'll find yourself drifting with those nice deep breaths deeper into a relaxed state, allowing yourself to drift down and prepare for our interesting little venture. It'll be a lot of fun. I get the feeling you're looking forward to it, because otherwise you wouldn't be here listening right now, would you? And so that's why you're going to keep breathing in, holding and breathing out. It feels marvelous as you loosen and relax your whole body, as you allow yourself to sink and slip and drip and drop, as you go blank for me. So very empty, so very mindless. Because as you let go, you'll allow my words to form the central thread of everything that is you for a brief while, so that I can tell the most tantalizing, ticklishly lovely, torturous story. I get the feeling you're going to enjoy it very much. So, if you'll listen closely, I'll tell you what's going to happen. You're going to sleep very deep as you drip, drop, sink, slip, down. And listen very closely. You awaken to find yourself standing in the airlock of a spaceship, holding your helmet in your hand. You're about to go into that airlock and out the other side to explore a derelict ship. And you are going to be searching that ship like your captain told you. She said, we really need to make sure to strip all the valuable materials out if there's any left after that ship has been floating around for so long. And of course, being the good, loyal crew person that you are, that's exactly what you're going to do. And so you hold up your helmet, inspecting the surface to make sure that the shiny faceplate is intact and that all of the equipment is functioning properly. You carefully lift the helmet up and place it down into the neck ring of your suit, slotting it and sealing the fasteners, connecting the hose for your oxygen and for your spent air. We You don't waste anything in space. You trust your suit's pressure. It's holding just fine. You flex your gloved hands, inspecting them, looking at the worn edges of your suit from many different productive jobs that you and your crew have shared. You begin to cycle the airlock. With a tss, you can hear the air begin to let out, and the icy coldness of a lack of pressure. And on the other side of that airlock stretches in a gaping, dark maw. You flick on a lamp on your helmet, and another on your wrist because you like to have lots of light when you're maneuvering through a derelict ship. Wouldn't want to get caught up on some unseen line or accidentally trip an old security system. You're very cautious. And so you begin the slow mag-walking steps using the boot magnets that you have to inch your way into the low-gravity environment. In fact, as you get away from the ship, the artificial gravity completely drops away, and now you're in the outer space zero-G environment, floating except for the magnets that hold you to the deck plates. And as you walk into this ship, you can tell it's been there for a very long time, as the entire interior of the ship has been completely stripped. There's lots of conduits that have been ripped open and torn out by previous people that have come. But all of it looks like it hasn't been disturbed in a very long time. And as you work your way deeper into the ship, you begin to notice that there isn't quite as much missing here. And you start to take notes and make sure that you write down any materials that might be worth stripping out of the ship. That way, when you go back to report to the captain, she'll be pleased with what you've done. When suddenly something comes spinning out of another hallway, it startles you with a jump. And for a moment, your heart is caught in your throat when you realize it's just a loose piece of material that must have been knocked open by something, though. Nothing should be moving after a ship's been derelict this long. It hastens the beat of your heart for a moment, sending the tiniest jump of anxious nerves into you. You wonder what might have caused something like that. You shine your lights carefully into the darkness of one of the central corridors, and you notice that there's an airlock that's been jammed partially open. And as you grow closer, you realize that it's a box that's been smashed between two doors that were trying to close in an emergency lockdown. Maybe back when the ship lost pressure, back when it was destroyed or broken. And you notice that the toolbox has been wedged there for a very long time, but just now, a wrench came drifting out of it. That's what scared you. You're perplexed, wondering what might have caused it to drift free at such an inopportune moment. And as you carefully free the toolbox, you notice another strangeness. There's particulate matter in the vacuum, suddenly drifting by your suit. Little black specks that seem to glow, but still remain black, and cast an eerie, faint light as you look up through the airlock to see more and more coming towards you. A part of you wants to go back, to retreat back to the safety of your ship and pretend you never saw anything like this. You know that there is signs of exotic life in the universe, and that some of it lives in space, but you get the feeling that almost anything that lives in space can't possibly be very friendly. But you're intrigued by the faint glowing luminescence, and it doesn't seem to be interacting with your suit at all, so you carefully pry the lock open against that little anxious fear, because if you were to find something rare and unique, after all, that would please your captain. A great deal. So you carefully pry open the airlock and work your way in. On the other side, the particulate matter is growing thicker. But there's another door on the other side of the lock that's sealed all the way shut. And that's where the black particulate's coming from. It's worked through the old seals around the airlock somehow, spilling out very slowly, like the most slow-motion sand timer you've ever seen, trickling. And so you're curious, what's on the other side of the lock? You open a panel and start manually cranking the airlock. Once you get it all working, it creaks. Sticking a little with the age and the failure of the seals, and you pop it open slowly, and as you do, a cloud of the glowing malak washes over you. And in the process, you had to manually cycle the airlock, so now the door behind you is closed, and you look beyond into the heart of the ship, and you realize this must have been the main engineering plant at one point. It's a large open space with a reactor and many tubes and pipes caked with a black mold-like substance, except it shines in the glow. It's thick and slick-looking, rubbery almost. You're taken aback by it as it coats the interior of the ship. You begin to realize that it's wrapped itself around the old core of the reactor, maybe for the warmth or the radiation, but it's all been engulfed by that gloopy, liquidy, latex-like material. And as you investigate further, you begin to notice that there's nodules that are letting out those little spores. It seems like they're almost empty now, which is peculiar because, well, if it had been doing it all this time, wouldn't they just always be making this black, glowing, pollen-like material? It's then that you notice something else, something truly and utterly terrifying. In your interest, you didn't notice that those particles were starting to cloud around you. Starting to trace around you. As you whirl around, you notice that they've formed almost a bubble around you, that they're coming closer, swirling around you in ever-tightening patterns, pulsing with little droplets of light that are leaving your mind open and vulnerable. It's like nothing you've ever seen before. It's fascinating. A part of you wants to flee, to run, to escape. But you're paralyzed, held in place by the fascinating currents in this empty vacuum. And that's when you feel it. Something around your ankle, sliding, twisting up around your suit. You try to kick free, but in your haste, you detach your other mag boot from the deck plating and go launching up into the air, only to be tethered in place by whatever it is that's got you by your ankle. You look down to see one of the slick, black, latex-like tentacles wrapped around the boot of your spacesuit, and it's worming its way up. You flail, grabbing desperately for your cutting tool on your hip pouch, your trusty little plasma torch, and uses nice little fusion cells. You pull it out, and thank goodness it still has a charge in it. Turning it on, the electric purple glow casts a shadow that reflects off the shiny latex all around you. You swing it down to cut the tentacle. It hisses through. It sprays out more of that pollen as you cut through it, and the spores just blast out of it, engulfing your vision. And as that happens, you feel another touch on your other hand, something wrapping around you. You swivel to try and cut again, and as you do, another one grabs onto your shoulder, pulling itself tightly around you, and you suddenly find yourself strung between two strong, pulsing, rubbery tentacles that have wormed their way around your body, splaying your upper body out. You flail your legs helplessly away from the deck plates in the zero-G, just managing a little helpless spin And it's not working. You can't get away. Another tentacle now around your waist, slowly tying you down, securing you into place. You feel it wrap tightly around your core, almost forcing the breath from you. And that's when you blank out for a moment. As you come to, you feel something against your skin now, not just your suit. You look around hastily. You're still in the same position. But there's something in your suit now. Tendrils, thin, small ones, worming in from where the tentacles have grabbed onto your suit. You can feel them slickly, almost lapping and squeezing you underneath the suit, swirling and touching your flesh, tenderly pulling and pulsing and pushing their way into your suit. And another set of tentacles seems to have grabbed and wrapped around your ankles, splaying you out, spread eagle, and pulling you slowly, slowly down towards the mass of black, rubbery growth. And that latex keeps seeping and pulsing its way into your suit. You can feel it crawling up your arms, up your torso, and you're terrified that you're going to lose pressure, that you won't be able to breathe as the rubber coats your skin, as it punctures your suit. And another tentacle approaches, this time slapping right down onto your faceplate. And as you watch, you can see it start eating away at the glass, pulsing and pushing its way against the rubber, squirming with so many little faceted tendrils as the latex coats your body, and slowly it seems to almost bore down like so much acid through the glass, and as soon as it breaches, you hear a faint hiss as air starts to worm its way out around the no longer perfect seal formed by the tentacles. The rubber begins to work its way inside, feeling, touching, sensing for something, until it touches your face. You try to scream, but it's already grabbed you the moment it found you, and it's pulsing, pushing, grabbing, squeezing, engulfing your face in latex. You try to scream, and the rubber touches your lips. You try to bite, and it worms its way inside, and before you know it, it's engulfed your whole face. And you thought you'd suffocate, but instead you find it's quite easy to breathe. Even though there's rubber coating your entire face, even though there's a tendril grabbing you and restraining you by your very head now, you find that as the latex continues to permeate and control you, continues to push and pulse into every part of your suit, you're growing more and more helpless in the smothering, tightening embrace of the tentacles. You begin to realize that all that latex that it's pumping in is coating your body underneath your suit. And as it continues to do so, you feel your suit begin to shred apart as the latex works its way further up you until you're exposed completely in what should be killing you, a vacuum, but you don't feel it. You just feel warm, pulsing, rubbery pleasure engulfing your whole body, leaving you completely mindless as you're dragged closer down to the rubber below you. It's all around you now. You can feel it even pushing into your mouth and down your throat. You try to scream, but you can't anymore. The pleasure is engulfing your raw animal mind. Your horror is complete. There's no escape now as you're smothered in these tight tentacles that have completely wrapped you up, completely engulfed you, coiled around every part of you with pulsing, pushing, steady strength until there's nothing left inside, just a rubberized person in the grasp of some alien entity. And that's when you feel it. As your struggles begin to weaken and as you tire, you feel something in your mind for the first time, another. A voice calling out, telling you that you will obey, that you will be one with the colony, that you will bring more servants, that you are one with the colony, and you will bring more servants. A simple, needy, pulsing, pushing, squeezing entity. Not only is your body being squeezed and ground and smothered in rubber, but your mind is drowning in anotherness. Another entity has pushed its way inside you, and a tentacle is starting to squirm against the base of your skull. You feel it as it wraps around your neck, tightening as the words continue. Growth, new life, obey the colony. And at that moment, you disappear into the rubbery tentacle swarm, engulfing you, taking you, controlling you. You're one with it. You belong to it. You're just a part of a colony now.